This is HPR episode 2600 entitled Special Episode on 2600, Blue Boxes, Freaking. It is hosted by Ken Fallon and is about 53 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, we celebrate the history of hackers with a nod to the old school freak community.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hi everybody, this is Ken Fallon and you're listening to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. Today is episode 2600 and as such we are going to be dedicating this show to the phone freaks out there who, if you go back far enough, were responsible for laying down the ideas that led to Hacker Public Radio itself. From Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia. In November 1954, the Bell System Technical Journal published an article entitled In-Band Signal Frequency Signaling, which described the process used for routing telephone calls over trunk lines with the then-current signaling system, R1. The article describes the basis of inter-office trunking and the signals used to start, route, and end calls. In November 1960, further technical details were disclosed by Bell System Technical Journal in the article entitled Signaling Systems for Control of Telephone Switching. This article identified specific single frequency, SF, and multi-frequency, MF, tones used to start and end a call and to transmit the number on a long distance connection. The engineering design assumed that these signals would only originate in automatic switching equipment. The designers were aware that in-band signaling method was subject to false signals arising in the telephone headset from ambient sounds and chose 2600 Hz frequency because it was not present in normal speech. This choice performed well in normal use of telephones. This success did not foresee the possibility that the telephone user would insert control switches signals into the switching system by sending unusual tones into their telephone headset. This possibility was discovered accidentally and eventually became widely known. Before the technical details were published in the Bell System Journal, it was discovered by many, some very unintentionally and to their annoyance, that a 2600 Hz tone used by the AT&T Corporation as a steady signal to mark currently unused long-distance telephone lines, or trunk lines, would reset those lines. Joe Ingresia, known as Joy Bubbles, accidentally discovered it at the age of 7 by whistling with his mouth. He and other famous phone freaks, such as Bill from New York and The Glitch, trained themselves to whistle 2600 Hz to reset the trunk line. They also learned how to route phone calls by causing trunks to flash in a certain pattern. At one point in the 1960s, packets of Captain Crunch breakfast cereal included a free gift, a small whistle that, by coincidence, generated a 2600 Hz tone when one of the whistle's two holes was covered. A freaker named John Draper adopted his nickname Captain Crunch from this whistle. Others would utilize exotic birds such as canaries, which are able to hit 2600 Hz tone with the same effect. With the ability to blue box, what was once just a few isolated individuals exploring the telephone network started to develop into a whole subculture. Famous phone freaks such as John Captain Crunch Draper, Mark Burney, and Al Burney used blue boxes to exploit various hidden codes that were not dialable from a regular telephone. Some of the more famous pranksters were Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs, founders of Apple Computers. On one occasion, Wozniak dialed the Vatican City, identifying himself as Henry Kissinger, imitating Kissinger's German accent, and asked to speak to the Pope, who was sleeping at the time. Wozniak said in 1986, "I called only to explore the phone company as a system, to learn the codes and tricks. I'd talk to the London operator and convince her I was a New York operator. When I called my parents and friends, I paid. After 6 months, I quit. I'd done everything that I could. It was so pure. Now I realize others were not so pure. They were just trying to make money. But then I thought we were all pure." Blue boxes were predominantly the domain of pranksters and explorers, but others used blue boxes solely to make free phone calls. There was also a popular with drug dealers and other criminals because the calls were not only free, but were virtually impossible to trace with the technology available at the time. Blue boxing hit mainstream media when an article by Ron Rosenbaum titled "Secrets of the Little Blue Box" was published in October 1971 issue of Esquire magazine. Suddenly, many more people wanted to get into phone freaking culture spawned by the Blue Box, and it furthered the fame of Captain Crunch. Two major amateur radio magazines, 7-3 and CQ, published articles on the telephone system in the mid-1970s. CQ magazine published details on phone freaking, including the tone frequencies, and several working Blue Box schematics in 1974. In 1975, issue of 7-3 features an article describing the rudimentaries of long-distance signaling networks, how to construct red and blue boxes and put them into operation. In November 1988, CCITT, now known as the ITCUT, published recommendation Q140, which goes over signal systems number 5's international function, once again giving away secret frequencies of the system. This caused a resurgence of blue boxing incidents with a new generation. During the early 1990s, blue boxing became popular with international warzine, especially in Europe. Software was made to facilitate blue boxing using a computer to generate signal tones and play them onto the phone from the PC, where Blue Beep, LTO and others, and blue boxes for other platforms such as Amiga were available as well. In the 1970s and 1980s, some trunks were modified to filter out single frequency tones arriving from callers. The death of blue boxing came in the mid to late 1990s when telephone companies, becoming aware of the problem, eventually moved to out-of-band signaling systems, which separates data and signaling channels such as CCIS and SS7. These packets systems separated the voice and signaling channels, making it impossible to generate signals from an ordinary telephone line. It was rumored that some international trunks still utilize in-band signaling that are susceptible to tones, although often it is 2600 plus 2400 and then 2600 to C's. Sometimes the initial tone was a composition of three frequencies. A given country may have in-band signaling on trunks from a specific country, but not from others. Now what you're about to listen to is the first episode of Radio Freak America, and it was first aired on the 20th of the 2nd, 2002, and published on oldschoolfreak.com, oldschoolfreak.com.
Greetings, this is Dual Parallel. The meeting was last night, and we came up with this kooky idea of having a radio show. Well, not really a radio show, but it's kind of rocking right now. I'm sitting outside a big switch, big telco switch in a big metropolitan city, and I'm going to do something groundbreaking, something historic, or something really stupid because I'm doing it in the daytime. Okay, what am I doing, you ask? Well, I'm walking down an alley behind the telco switch. So, yeah, oh, yeah, you guessed it. I'm going to go dumpster diving. Man, this is a long alley. Has this ever been done before? I don't think it's ever been done before. So I do think it's historic. Okay, getting close. No one's out in the backyards. No dogs barking. Everything looks good. I bet you there's freaking telco guys there, though. They got me working right now. Okay, here's the yard. There's a bucket truck right in the corner. I don't see any cameras while it's daytime, so who cares? Oh, there's the dumpster. Okay, hold on. I'm going to get up to it right now. Okay, I'm at the dumpster. Man, there's a lot of trash in the dumpster. There's a lot of shit. Oh, what do we got here? There's a little good paperwork. One says Tyco, Nick, and NID. NID paperwork. I got tons of those. Lots of cable. There's some other paperwork. Oh, there's a jack. There's a couple of jacks. Shit, I want to go to the other side. I gotta get something back. Okay, hold on. God, this shit's noisy. Pardon my French. Okay, that's something I don't have before. Oh, I'm taking this jack too. It's a nice jack. Oh, it's like a dual. Like me, dual parallel. This is dual parallel. Dumpster diving, historic event, and a large switch in a large metropolitan area. And I think that's it. I think I have a warm and welcome. I don't see anything else. All right, I'm going. Wait. All right, I'm walking away and I'm not looking back. Because I got right before I drove up to it, I saw Telco. I saw technicians driving into the yard, so they're working today, it's no doubt. But I got a really nice dual jack. And then, hold on, paperwork here. I think it's just another NID. Yeah, it is. Just another NID instructions. Hang on. Still, very fruitful. And again, hopefully an exciting first segment to the new show, Radio Freak America.
Welcome to the first episode, Radio Freak America. Props to Rax for the name. You can find us at oldschoolfreak.com every week. I'm joined right now by Rax and Condor. Rax, you there?
I'm here. What's up?
Excellent. Condor?
Little K.
Excellent. Excellent. We've got a lot to talk about. We're going to have some important issues. We're going to have some deep issues. And then we're going to have a lot of fun. With a capital PH, because that's what this is about. First, I want you know what? I think I told you guys about this, Rax and Condor, that I thought I was slammed.
Yeah, you were slammed.
Yeah, it was horrible. I got this phone bill for, geez, it was well over $200. And I finally noticed it came from a USBI, and it just all these companies, I had no idea. There's numerous companies on there. And I was mad. I was livid. So I started making some calls, and I eventually found out that I received a number that a former dancewear company had. And I was still listed in AT&T as this business, and I was getting my phone service through business discount plan with rates like 40, 50 cents a minute. It was absurd. So, you know, eventually I got it all figured out. AT&T gave me an hour long distance for 6 months. I actually got a deal on the long distance that I used before. I got a big discount. And it just goes to show you, read that bill. Look very closely. And don't trust phone companies.
I want to explain what slamming is, too, for everyone else listening in who might not be aware of what it is.
Slamming is when your phone service, when your long-distance carrier is changed without your authorization. And actually what I've learned from this is that slamming is actually not it doesn't occur that frequently anymore. It's very difficult, I heard. But you can go to, I think you can go to fcc.gov/slamming and learn all about it. And there's actually an 800 number, too. I was going to call it today. Maybe I'll do that at the end of the show. And you can get all this information about slamming and cramming and telephone fraud in general.
Then there was supposedly, too, when this thing was running rampant, you know, people would call to say about switching phone companies and that, and they say, who do you want to use for your long-distance carrier? And they say, well, I don't care. Well, someone allegedly set up a company called I Don't Care.
I heard about that. And then they also had, when you hit O for operator, they had a company called You Choose For Me, and whichever one is the cheapest also.
You choose
one is the cheapest, you know, it'll be charged like, you know, maybe a dollar a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I can't imagine. I'd be so upset. And you know what? And it was actually a little upsetting.
No doubt.
I mean, just the fact that somebody was changing things in your life, you know, probably not quite as bad as identity theft or something like, or getting robbed, but still, disconcerting nonetheless.
You still end up getting stuck with the bill, and that doesn't feel really comfortable.
Yeah. You know what? You know who really got stuck with the bill was this business discount plan. They, like, ate it. And I asked them, does AT&T compensate you for their mistake? And they said no. So they're eating quite a bit. I actually made out like a bandit. Because AT&T's regular residential rates could be upwards of 30 cents a minute. So, and I was getting it for 16 now. So
I just switched to, sounds like a commercial now. Now a word from our sponsor, but I just switched to IDT for long distance, which uses Global Crossing Frontier for doing all their backbone stuff. And they're like, you know, it sounds pretty good. It's like, you know, they bill like in 6-second increments, and it's like 5 cents a minute and all this other stuff.
Wow.
And I was feeling pretty good about that until I heard, you know, they tried to pull like another Enron, and like the CEO left with like $500 million in his pocket or something like that.
No.
So,
a company? Is this?
That's IDT, International Data and Telephone or something like that.
This guy I know, he's in my Cisco class. His dad works for Global Crossings, and I actually applied for an internship there. And unfortunately, I didn't make it. And I'd like to get money because I'm an unemployed student. So.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We all were at one time. I think everybody is.
Oh, yeah.
Global Crossing, they've got, if I'm correct, they have worldwide fiber optic network.
Optics all over.
Yeah. Yeah, they're big. They're real big.
That's really why I wanted to join them. So.
Yeah, you could like run their Cisco routers and be the elite router guy. Now, I also had a little trouble with Quest. I ordered, and they had this big ad campaign on broadcast TV: free caller ID, free security screen, and a free box for a month. Try it out, see if you like it. Well, I tried it out for a month, and it doesn't do anything for me. You know what? I got my bill. They still billed me for it. I had to call and cancel it and tell them, hey, you offered the free trial. Why are you charging me? I couldn't believe it. Not to mention, if you're ordering services, you can order for anybody. They'll just give services to anybody, even if it's not you. But if you want to cancel something or change it, man, they put you on hold. You're on a back burner, baby. It's horrible. So,
like if you want to get somebody, you just call up, say you're them, and order all the services for them?
Piece of cake. And if you want to be anonymous, just go to a payphone, Optivert. Shoot, all you need is a name and address of a phone book. That's all they ask for authentication. It's sick.
Yeah.
It's sick. So to all our listeners, please, read your phone bill and watch out for phone companies. I'm sure some of their products are good, and I'm sure they do good things for you, and it's nice to talk on the phone. But you know what? You know what? You could be totally wireless now. Is anybody totally wireless? Rax, Condor?
No, I'm not. I don't even have a phone, wireless phone.
Because that's because he's a poor student, but
That's true.
we're not quite like Scandinavia where, you know, like, I forget what the statistics are, but like 80% of the people carry phones, and very few of the people have hard landlines in their houses anymore.
Exactly. There's almost no need for telcos. I mean, shoot, you could get satellite internet access if you'd like, and I've heard that it's synchronous.
The telcos are worried about all that kind of stuff. They're working on, there was something I was reading about over copper being able to put like HDTV. Someone's working on some head-end equipment for that, so the telcos can get into the cable TV business and using the four-pair wire they have coming into your house, because they're going to start losing a lot of business, not only, you know, as people are switching cell phones and doing everything else and all that, but so they're looking to make a buck or two still.
No doubt. And they're losing all the money to that, and then they're losing all their money on payphones. Yeah, I can see them.
Payphones are really losing their money. They're starting to charge, you know, 50 cents. They did that a while ago in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Local calls.
And they're, they're taking them out and everything else and that, too. But, speaking of Quest, for those people out in the, I guess, the 14 states that that Quest controls or monopolizes on or whatever.
Right.
Quest was going to sell your personal information and make money on that. And what they did is they put in on one of the phone bills that unless you notify Quest by such and such a time, you will have assumed to be opted in.
Yeah, by default.
By default. And, so someone, one of these investigative reporter type of people got a hold of it. It was in, all kinds of news things and so on and so forth. They had their Quest representatives on TV saying, well, it's not like we're going to stand on a street corner and sell your information. Well, of course not. They don't have to stand on a street corner. They sit in their nice corporate offices, and other companies come up to them and say, well, hey, we'll pay you for this information.
From what I understand, they were going to sell it to other Quest companies so that way, say you have regular Quest TV or something like that, they're going to call you and say, do you want Quest Wireless? That's what, from my understanding, because, I mean, we use Quest, and we really don't have a choice. I mean, there's not many telephone choices out there.
Yeah, well, you can almost understand it being within their own organization, and I almost don't even mind that, but I'll tell you a story about that in a second. But on top of that, they would literally have the right to, sell that to, magazine companies, insurance companies, you name it. Once that Pandora's box would be opened, it'd be impossible to close. So they talked about that on TV, and then they extended the time, and, of course, they had an 800 number that you could call in and opt out, and that was busy all the time. So I found it on their website, opted out, and, of course, printed out my confirmation from the web browser, including the date and time that was done. So if you ever do anything like that, just as an FYI to everyone listening out there, you might want to keep a hard copy of this stuff as well. But anyway, long story made short, Quest was getting a real big black eye. And then on January 28th, here's the press release. Quest Communication International, Incorporated, today announced that it's withdrawing its plans to share private customer account information among different divisions in the company. Citing customer concerns, the company said the decision on when and how it might share information within Quest would be made after the Federal Communications Commission has an opportunity to issue new rules expected later this year. So
they were catching a bunch of heat, and they had to back off.
And now the FCC, and they got so much attention, the FCC has now stepped in, so that's a good thing in my book.
It is. And, Vermont also changed. They either have a law or they're proposing a law where people are opted out by default. It's fail closed. So they can't just automatically give out your information and, because what if you never know about it? What if you never call? Then all your information is just flowing out there, all of these companies. It's horrible. So Vermont is actually on the ball. Props to Vermont. I want Rax to talk about vomit.
Is that really a conversation? Like what you do Saturday nights about 1 o'clock in the morning when everything?
No, not hugging the cold toilet in the wee hours of the morning. I want you to tell
the porcelain god.
Exactly. I want you to tell the listeners all about voice over misconfigured IP.
Yeah, voice over misconfigured internet or IP telephony is vomit, and it's actually kind of neat. Cisco has IP telephones. And it's actually very cool technology, very, very small, actually. It's about 4K per second, and then when you add the overhead for TCP/IP, it's like about, 5 to 8K. So it's actually very interesting. and companies are starting to do that in schools and everything else. But basically, you know, think about it. Everything traveling over your network is just all zeros and ones. So someone at the University of Michigan came up with this idea and wrote a little utility for Linux, and it's called Vomit, Voice Over Misconfigured Internet Telephones. And basically, here's what it does. You plug in your Linux box, plug it into the network at work where they have Cisco IP telephones, and you just kind of happen to about the packet, capture the data stream, and save it to a WAV file.
Just by happenstance, you capture a bunch of packets.
Just happen to be coming by your, you know, through the wire, and you just happen to find them.
Now, Condor, speak up. Have you ever just happened to sniff some packets on any network you've been on?
Oh, never.
Never. Okay. Sure. Continue, Rax.
But anyway, now, so you can save the files. Now, get this. This is I think, and we were talking about this at the 2600 meeting before. But everyone out there has probably seen Hogan's Heroes at one time. And if you remember Kinch, who was the techie guy, you know, of that back.
My hero.
The 40s, yeah. And he had this coffee pot that had a to it or something. You know, they always had Colonel Klink's office bugged, and they would tape what was going on in there. And then they would get out their little razor blade and re-snip up the tape and, you know, play other conversations back. Well, think of what you can do when you save these phone conversations to your handy-dandy hard drive, take your favorite audio editor, slice and dice them up, and you can interject those messages back into the phone system like it's a telephone call. Hey, need that raise? Just record your boss talking about someone else giving someone else a raise. Edit, put your name in there, and send it off to the HR department.
That's right. Piece of cake. Fun for all the listeners. You know, old voicemail, you used to be able to do that with old voicemail systems. I was listening to an old Off the Hook, and that's where Emmanuel met Mr. French on this IBM voicemail system, and you used to be able to do that right with the phone. You used to be able to cut and chop and paste together any kind of voicemail message. I think Vomit. Boy, I wish I had access to IP telephone network. I'd want to try that out right away.
American Express does that. I know that.
It's all IP? Yeah, probably.
There's a lot of places doing it now. And there are, Nortel does some IP telephony stuff on that as well, but I guess this is just with Cisco stuff for now. But if you're looking up that information, just type in Vomit and Cisco in your favorite search engine, and it'll pop right up there. And I'm sure Jewel's going to probably put links up there for everything we talk about on the show here too.
Definitely, definitely. In fact, I'll write synopses for each show, and you can get the shows at http www.oldschoolfreak, that's school with a K and freak with a PH, .com. And we're going to have this show up every week. Right now it's recorded, MP3s. Hopefully we're going to start broadcasting, and it's going to be great for all the listeners. In fact, we'll start having call-ins. You know what? Is this weird? You know what I've always wanted to do is build my own switch. Build my own telco switch. Just get a bunch of... I wouldn't even know where to begin. I actually do know where to begin. I've thought about it. But it'd be really sick and twisted. But I've always wanted to do that.
I suppose, right?
Yeah.
That's why you're an old school freak. You want to build a switch, man.
I do. Man, I want to have my own telco. That is sick. That's really sick.
I heard about these... I don't know, maybe 2 years ago, these, like, teenagers that they made their own ISP, and, you know, that wouldn't be a bad business to compete with Quest, though.
Yeah, you know, I think running an ISP would be easier than running a telco. I think, you know, if you got enough boxes and got enough copper going into your house, I think you could do it.
There's an interesting thing on, if anyone's read Robert Kringle. And they're on PBS.org. There's a thing, iKringly. But he had an interesting idea talking about how people could set up, or someone is a great business opportunity for someone to set up a DSL service. And he goes into it in a fair bit of detail. But basically, you buy up one of these alarm monitoring companies in your favorite city, and they have what's called dry lines going into everyone's house. So it's another pair of wire that's going, and it's a dry line in the sense that there's no dial tone on that. That's exactly what you need to set up DSL. So what you do, buy up the company that has the alarm monitoring system, use those dry lines, and I'll start offering the people DSL. And if you think about the capabilities beyond that, or the possibilities beyond that, you know, voice over IP into people's into their homes and mix that out into the regular kind of internet telephony thing. Of course, when the RBOX of the world would find out about that, they'd probably want to stop you from doing that, but it presents interesting business opportunities.
And they will be crushed under the giant thumb of big business. But yeah, if we have any alarm companies listening to this show, I bet they're taking notes right now.
Yeah.
I also, Rax brought something up to me. Well, I'm sure all our listeners are familiar with RaiseAFist.com getting raided a couple of weeks ago. You've heard it on Off the Hook. You heard it on HackerMind. By the way, we're on Wednesday nights, so, because personally I can't get enough of Off the Hook and HackerMind. I mean, I can't stand TV. I can barely stand radio, maybe NPR. ZDTV. That's the one shining line on the Dish Network.
Who do you have? Who services you?
That sounds like a rather personal question.
Yeah, you know, kind of.
Well, you don't have a choice anymore. You can't really choose. I mean,
are you talking about cable?
Well, no, I'm talking about in general companies, like services. You really can't choose anymore.
Oh, you mean telephone?
Telephones, cable.
You're right. Well, a lot of it, I believe that a lot of it is a benevolent monopoly. Look what happened when power was deregulated in California. It went into the hole. I believe that your local utilities are, like I said, basically a benevolent monopoly. We do, actually, Quest is looking into becoming a long-distance provider, and I think if they do that, they have to open up their local markets to other companies. So I think that is around the corner. I think for telephone service, I think that'll work. Power, no. You know, of course, other stuff, basic economics. You can't have companies defending your country or paving your roads. That won't work. Condor, if you could, first of all, speak up a little bit and tell us, please. We've been talking about phone service. There's a website, onebox.com, that first gave great service. They get free email, free faxes. It was wonderful. And they gave you a voicemail number, but it was a toll number. Now they've given, and they made it even better service by giving a toll-free number to all of their subscribers. But, unfortunately, on the other hand, it doesn't work. Every time I dial that 866 number, it's always busy, or it'll ring. It'll ring forever. And it's cool, though, to have it. It'll read back your email in a computerized voice.
And I enjoy that one of the most, except whenever you put like a, from what I understand from experience, whenever you put like a number, then a period, it skips that next line, skips that whole line, then goes to the next one.
Oh, it does. I didn't know that.
It's kind of weird because you gave me the instructions on the freaking part,
right.
The AT&T basic freak fun.
Uh-huh.
And it just, I decided to listen to it, and I knew that I wasn't getting the whole thing. It would say six. Then it would go five, then it would go to the next one, and then until you hit another period, then it would tell you.
Really? See, I didn't know that. It works. It works pretty well, though. Regardless of that, I think it works fairly well, and it reads. It'll read everything. It'll read, you know, right bracket. It's cool. It's very cool.
I sent Rax two emails, I think, or one, using OneBox on a telephone, and.
Yeah, then you get the notification of it. You click on it, and go through. You can play it as a WAV file or as a the audio stream from a QuickTime. It's actually very cool.
Yeah, it is. It's totally fun, and it's actually a really useful service. If only the number worked. I know that everybody heard about it. And they loved it because I mean, what's better than 800 voicemail?
There was actually one place, and they just recently went bankrupt. They're maybe one of the last .coms closing, but it was called Dialpad. Did you guys hear about that?
That's the internet phone call.
Right, yeah, you would do from your computer, either computer to computer, obviously, which anyone can do, or computer to regular telephone. And they were giving out 800 numbers for that, and fax and voice and voicemail and everything else. And it was a little bit laggy, you know, depending on how your connection was to the net, but it was very cool. So I was off in Hawaii and calling back on that and, you know, no charges.
Very nice. I think next time I'm in Hawaii, I'll give it a call.
Bankrupt now, so you can't. So.
Oh, man. I actually have been to Hawaii, and it was a blast.
That's great.
It is. It is. Now, speaking of traveling, we were at the last 2600 meeting. I'm sure all our listeners were there, too. at the last meeting, we were talking about the show. And we were talking about, oh, you know, I was on travel and I couldn't really get access. Well, I went to Fry's Electronics, great store, and I signed up with Earthlink 2 months free. So I'm very happy. They've got nationwide numbers, and of course I'll cancel it when the 2 months are up. But then Rax was telling me about
Slingshot.
Yeah, I almost said Slashdot. So it's called Slingshot.
Yeah.
Now, can you tell listeners something about Slingshot?
Slingshot's great. You go to your office supply stores, your computer places now. You can go to slingshot.com and see it. And basically, it's 2 cents a minute. It gives you 600 local minutes or 120 toll-free minutes. So if you're traveling, or even if your broadband connection goes down, I've had broadband for so many years now, I have no other dial-up connection anymore. So you get this and installs this little dialer and that. You don't have to create a username and password, everything else, and it takes care of it for you. But it's prepaid internet access. You can be totally anonymous, right? You buy it, you pay cash for it at the store. They don't know who you are. All they know is where you're dialing from, obviously, and of course they could see, you know, where you're going and whatever. They give you a couple of free email accounts and that, and it's like $10 for this 600 minutes.
Dude, that is so sweet, and it's totally anonymous, because that's what I love about TracFone and all those prepaid cellular calls, because it's totally anonymous. So this is totally anonymous. You could Optivert. You could, none of our listeners or we would ever do this, but theoretically you could BeigeBox your dial-up. That is very sweet.
The one downside to it, though, is it's only for Windows boxes right now. Someone may be able to figure out, you could probably do a little bit of packet analysis, and figure out what's going on as it's doing the sign-up, but you don't pick a username and password. If it was, right, it'd be easy to make a dial-up from, any OS.
Right.
And do that out. So, if someone out there gets into it and finds out, contact us back through the website, and that would be a very good thing to let people know, but it's a great deal.
Definitely. I would put that right up on the site, because that'd be excellent. I know there was an article in 2600 not too long ago, hacking free ISPs with WinDump, and like you said, Rex, you'd probably do the same thing, just find out. I'm assuming you would use CHAP if it's on a Windows system. You could just find out the authentication and figure it out yourself.
Right.
That'd be great. So, hey, that's a project for the listeners.
I have Trios. I bought Trios, and just the other day, it broke.
What happened?
I don't know. I'm not an electronical expertise or anything, but I brought it to a teacher I know. And, it would be a great project on how to build, except you need to solder, maybe 200 pins, because you have to solder in, all these IDE cables.
Condor, why don't you explain what Trios is for everyone?
Right. Trios is an operating system, a hard drive selector. You put the operating system on one hard drive, and you can press a little button, and you can switch to it. Unfortunately, you have to power down totally for it to switch, because it's not really intelligent. It's just a switch. It literally is a switch.
Right, an IDE switch.
Right. No, electrical switch. It allows the information to just go through, and the electricity just go through.
Hey, that is a cool ring. What is that?
That's just my little Nokia.
That is sweet. That is a nice phone, by the way. So, can I ask you how much this Trios cost?
$60.
Well, that's not too bad. And how many OSs, how many hard drives can it support?
3. But if you have a, you can actually do 4. If you have a, if you do not push any of the buttons in, you can it'll then look past Trios. It will not even see Trios. So you can actually plug in another one. But if you have 3 CD-ROMs or 3 something, you obviously can't do that.
3 IDE devices, correct?
Right.
Okay. Yeah, IDE only allows for 2 channels of 2 devices apiece normally. So
on each chain, right?
Yeah, 2 devices on each channel, and there's two channels on the motherboard. So I guess, Condor, would this be, you would just take one of those channels, one of the drives, and this Trios becomes now the 3 different drives?
Right, right.
Okay. That is slick. Let me guess, you got it at Fry's.
Yes, I did.
This segment of the show brought to you by Fry's Electronics.
That's what we need to do. We need to get a big sponsor. Can you hear me okay?
I can. That's perfect. I don't know if our listeners would appreciate it, because we're here for the listeners. We're here to spread information. We're to spread the word about curiosity and acting upon that curiosity, and how it should not be illegal to act upon curiosity. Yeah, you know what? I brought up earlier RaiseTheFist.com getting busted, and somehow we got the subject. I'd like to bring that back up. That's actually a really important topic. It's been talked about on Off the Hook. It's been talked about on Hacker Mind. It was, from what I believe, an anarchist website, and eventually he's being watched by law enforcement agencies, and eventually the gentleman who ran the site posted bomb-making information, and of course he was busted. He's probably in the hole longer than Bernie S. and Fiber Optic combined. It's not right. You can get any, you know, you can get a, well, you actually can't get a Blaster's Handbook very easy, but you can go to the library. You can get a Structural Engineer's book. You can get anything you want in a library on the internet, for crying out loud. What's the deal with this one website? Why do they have it up for him? Now, Rax, you were telling me something of another website that has information like that. So Condor was telling me the same type of thing. Another website, you can get tons of information. Why weren't they busted? Why did they pick on this guy?
Well, you know, the thing is, you know, once it demands someone's attention, once something happens that calls someone's attention to something, that they usually try to make an example.
Yeah, it was probably becoming popular. That's probably, you know. Now, you were at Condor. You were at what site? And they had tons of bomb making materials.
Tons of everything. Tons of everything. Textfiles.com.
Oh yes, I've been there.
And has lots of stuff. And there's textfiles.com, and you can choose a mirror, and those will be old text files, and you can go to web.textfiles.com, and that has the newer stuff, and it's a great site. It really is.
Yeah, it's a great site because it's basically got free information, all kinds of information.
And this guy hasn't really been busted for anything. I think he would.
Yeah, you would think so, especially after 9/11.
Well, there's I was talking to Duel about this before, too. There's a company that's been around for a long time, and it's Loom Panics, LOOMPANICS. And they have tons of books, and they've been publishing books on things like, you know, how to reload your own ammo and everything else in between. So at DEF CON this year, they were there, and I picked up a little catalog, and they had all kinds of various assorted types of things, including, you know, weird and wild things like... you know, how to make your own bazooka, down to you know, how to change your identity and how to do all these other things. So they have catalogs. You can go to their website online and see the various information as well. But there's another site I came across today, and I think it's pronounced Tootsie, TOTSE.com, and they've got tons of things there. There's Chat Bad Ideas, which has all kinds of things on you know, how to make explosive devices and to fringe and hack and freaking and viruses and technology and everything else. So there's tons of information out there.
Yeah, and people aren't getting arrested for it every day. I you know, I wish I would have seen the site. I just heard about it from 2600. You know, if the feds, if the FBI, if they want to shut something down, why don't they shut down gun shows? You know, why don't they?
We're talking about having taken your first trip to one of those.
Oh yeah, God, it was horrible. People, I went to my first gun show not too long ago, and, you know, basically to get that type of information, you know, identity changing, lock picking, stuff like that. And the people were very unique, I'll say that. The people were definitely different, and that type of information was all over that place, tons of it. It just blows my mind. It almost frustrates me to see stuff like that happen, to see the satellite. What was that newspaper? Satellite Daily News or something? The guy who would publish information about satellite systems, DSS, and then have General Motors just crush him legally just because he printed information, just because he shared, I'm frustrated, technology that he learned about, that others learned about. Sure, I guess you could use that information to do bad things, but he wasn't doing anything bad. He was just putting the information out there. It's unbelievable.
Go to a high school and you'll find tons more illegal stuff. I mean, really.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Oh, man, the stuff I did in high school. Holy moly.
You know, the thing, it falls back to the thing that, you know, in line with your gun show theme and that, you know, where they say guns don't kill people, people kill people. But, you know, it's like anything else. Any kind of tool that you have can be used for good or evil. You know, airplanes can take you around and make you get from point A to point B a lot quicker, or they can be used for bad purposes as they were on September 11th. So
and that applies exactly with information.
That's exactly the same thing. Yeah, it's just another tool, and it's how you choose to use that information.
Yeah, but no matter what anybody does, you're not going to stop the spreading of information. You're not going to stop people from creating it. You're not going to stop people from distributing it. It is going to exist, and I believe it should be open. It should be free. Okay. All right, enough. I'm off. Let me hop off my soapbox. I'm done. You know what? I want to make some phone calls. I want to show the listeners a couple of things, a couple of cool things. And I guess one of you, I tell you what, I'm going to stop this, and I'll make the phone calls. Maybe one of you can come on, and then I'll come back together again for the last part of the show. Is that cool?
Yes, it works for me.
All right, listeners, hang on. Okay, we're back. Rax has left us. Condor's here. Because it's only three-way. And I want to make a few phone calls. I've been doing like retro. I've been real retro lately, using DOS and Procom and dialing up everything I can. And I'd call Kokots, and I'd get some really cool noises. So I'm going to call one right now. Hang on, Condor. Condor, are you there? Now this one should pick up. I dialed up into this phone using Hyper Terminal. Still there?
I'm still here.
Yeah, that is so cool. I dialed up a few. Some Kokots, and these are all Kokots. You get a busy signal if you dial up most Arbok payphones. Now I dial up these Kokots, and a couple. One would do nothing. It would just drop me as soon as it picked up.
On hyper terminal?
Yeah, this is Hyper Terminal. I tried with old school program Procom Plus on my 386, and that didn't do anything.
Oh.
But I used regular Hyper Terminal, and a couple would just drop me. It would just drop me instantly. One would just echo an N every time I tried an AT command. And then this last one, this phone I just called, it would actually connect, and it would just send garbage to my screen. Now, again, I read an article in 2600 where I think there's a program I can get, and maybe I can talk with these Fortress Kokots. I'm going to look for that program, but it's totally fun. Dial up everything. I mean, shoot, maybe you could even, dial up an air conditioner? Is that true? Is that rumor true, Condor?
It's true. And I was in there at the same time. It went... Dee-dee.
Now, you read about this, right?
No, I was...
No. You read about this, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Well, I only heard... Somebody told me about this.
That's right. And what'd they tell you?
Oh, they told me that actually dialed up, it made all the sound, and he told me it in such detail that I could actually picture myself being there.
That's phenomenal. That's a phenomenal story. I read that if you use the terminal program and dialed up one of those things, that it might connect at like 9600. I think that's the connection speed of those environmental controls. Now, the next call I want our listeners to check out is it's pretty minor, but it's kind of cool. Just the differences. And it has to deal with the 1-700 number to see what your LATA is, see what your carrier is, your long-distance carrier, on any phone. And that's a 700 number.
1-700, I think you showed me that one.
Yeah, and it's 1-700-555, and then XXXX. Any four numbers will do it. But you'll get different messages for the same carrier, and I'm going to prove that right now.
Thank you for choosing AT&T for your long-distance service.
Okay, now that AT&T is my carrier, and I just dialed 1-700-555-1212, and that was the message you got. Now, if you dial full...
AT&T, thank you for choosing...
Okay, enough of that. You still there, Condor?
I'm here.
Oh, you're...
I wanted to be quite a little bit longer, but I didn't really want to.
Do not fool the host. Okay, now, that was 1212. Now we'll try 4141.
Thank you for choosing AT&T for your long-distance calling.
Oh, you're very welcome. Okay, Condor, do you hear the difference?
AT&T.
Okay, you there?
Using AT&T, and the other one did the little cheap sound effect.
Yeah, I like the latter. I think it was much more soothing. She was much more friendly. I'd rather have a cup of coffee with her. All right, how about we bring back Rex right now?
Sure.
You know what? How about I stop it so people don't get his number?
That's right.
Oh, wait, hold on. I'll just cover the mic.
Okay.
All right, I'll be right back. Rax is coming back as we speak. It's much more fun this way.
What's up?
What's up? Hey, we just dialed you over the air, dude, so everybody can bust out their DTMF decoders and get your number.
Oh.
No, not really.
Thanks, bud.
Not really. We covered the mic. We call a couple of cool numbers. I've been going retro, dialing up everything, dialing up some Kokots. I think I played that Kokot sound for you at the last meeting.
Right.
And I've connected to a few and got some garbage from some weird echoes from others. Some just dropped me. And then I showed listeners what happens when you dial 1-700 number, different 1-700 numbers with the same carrier. You can get different messages. There's just no consistency. This was a great show. Making the first segment was so exciting. I mean, not that it was exciting dumpster diving. I'm sure all of our listeners have done it 100 times.
Well, I hope you took a shower before you started the show.
Oh, of course. Yeah, sanitized everything. But doing it on the air, you know, it just added a little bit to it, you know, narrating it, you know, it was a little exciting. This was a great first show. It was an historic event, and I hope there will be many more to come, especially live broadcasts over the Internet. You guys have anything else to say?
Go for it, Condor. Did we lose him?
I don't know. Condor, are you there? Condor, are you there?
I'm here. What took you so long?
There he is. I keep forgetting to flash back.
Didn't hear all that closing
stuff. Forget
about
me.
Dude, you missed all the... Don't worry. You'll be able to hear it on the net.
All right, I will.
This is a great show. I want to thank you guys. I want to thank our listeners for downloading the show. This is the first episode of Radio Freak America.
In your hard drives forever.
Listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.